God bless you. Be seated. Thank you very much, Pastor Dominic, for your exhortation. But I notice it's more of your testimony of what you have gone through in the hand of your former denomination. And it is so. I like to hear that because I have never been a member of any denomination. Maybe that is why it's easier for me than many of you. Because the first church I entered after my conversion is an intermessage church. But I gave my life to Christ in a different setting. Inside the prison yard, I had time to get a picture of what the gospel was, of who a Christian is, what is expected of the scriptures. While in the prison, I look forward to coming out. Even the sermon books of William Branham, I read so many in the prison, and I had a picture of what a true church should look like. I was looking forward to come and meet a group of people. If you condemn everybody, then let's see the correct one. And when I came out, I also had the opportunity inside the prison yard to be the pastor of the Christian Fellowship there. Because something happened. Remember that in the prison yard, all the denominations, the fellowship is every day, and the denominations were in charge. That was where I told you my questions began. Because maybe every day was for one church or the other. They divided them among the churches. On Sunday, sometimes two churches, one finishes, the other one wants to come in. And if one takes too much time, the other one will be angry. And so I was wondering why, if it is the same, why are they not all coming together with worship? And they go, in all my innocence. Then, when I somehow, even within the prison, we had the various groups. I think we have the Catholics, the Protestants, which consists of non-Catholics, and of course, Olumba Olumba. And then, you know, these are, I think, the three major groups. And so, for our own, the prison, the Protestant group, I think we were maybe 20 people, maybe 15, anytime we gather. But anytime they see visitors coming in with packets, the church may reach 40 so that they can have a share of the soap and whatever they bring to share to the members. But suddenly there was a pardon that was given to a certain category of prisoners. And in our fellowship, everybody was released, leaving only six of us. The pastor was released, assistant was released. Only us. And there must be a leader. So I was appointed the leader. But by that time, I had seen the message. And I was already a thorn in the flesh of the denominations that we are coming in. I was always sitting at the back. You do anything contrary to the Bible, I will stand up. Excuse me, sir. You have been speaking in tongues. The Bible says if there is no interpretation, you should keep quiet. How do you explain what you have been doing since with this scripture? When they come with a woman, and the woman is collecting microphone, I want to preach. I say, excuse me, sir. I will quote the Bible. Why is this sister talking to us, the man? I was a thorn in their flesh, and I was not doing it to yap them. This is Bible. Why are you doing it contrary? Explain. Maybe there's something I don't understand. So now here am I, the pastor, and Foursquare, there were those in charge of that fellowship. One old man, he is, you know, he will be the one to appoint the pastor anytime the pastor is, a new pastor is to be, the pastor is to be replaced. And when it got to our turn, I knew they will come. So quickly, when I was appointed to be the leader, the next service he came, he said, "You understand? Everybody else, because you're the only ones now. We have to appoint a leader." I said, "We have appointed. I am now the new leader." He said, who appointed you? Then I told him, I said, "Why are you asking? Is this Four Square Church?" "It's okay, you know, he's the one that will ordain me." I said, "I have already been ordained." "Who ordained you?" I said, "The rest who appointed me." Then he knew there was going to be a problem. He was very, very discouraged. Very, very discouraged. And so I became the pastor. You know, it's not a very big prison, Ikoyi prison. I mean, the convicts. The people that are many are those awaiting trials. You know, you see them, thousands of them locked up somewhere. But the free people are those who are already convicted. And so, 1 month after I took over the leadership of that church, every day our gathering was an average of 150 members. Every day. I saw opportunity, what I read, to see in practice. We will come and we will see revival. We will praise God. Anointing will be flinging people everywhere, which never took place before. I raised up that church until you feel like you are committing sin if you are sick to take medicine. And the truth was, it's not faith I was preaching. By the stripes of Jesus, we are healed. It was extreme because God had to reformat my brain on that later. I believed that because I was sick, I was prayed for, and I was healed without taking drug. And I look at the scripture. It's true. By the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. Why am I suffering? Taking drug, taking injection, taking this. And so we taught it. It's faith. If you believe, it will happen. So there was the slogan among our members, "Oh, faithless generation. Oh, faithless generation." So if they see you taking drug, you have to hide if you're a member of the church. If a member sees you taking, they say, "Oh, faithless generation. Don't have faith for your healing." And even after I left the church, I left the prison, the church I attended, I didn't believe that a Christian should take drugs when you are sick. I didn't believe it. I remember my pastor was not in church. And I asked, "Why pastor don't come to church today?" He said he woke up this morning and his baby was sick, so he rushed the baby to the hospital. I said, "Eh? Are you sure these are believers? Sure, this man is not a hypocrite. You're becoming sick, you go to hospital." It was stumbling me. I was about leaving the church. It was the associate that sat me down. I said, "No, Brother Moses, what you have is a gift of faith." "No, Brother Moses," he opened and showed me that William Branham went to the hospital. "William Branham go to hospital?" He said, "Yes." Hallelujah. But by God's grace, I still kept to my faith. I didn't make it a doctrine again because something happened that I don't want to go too much long story. God himself bent me to now know that he can use any means to heal. He can use any means to heal. But pray first and allow him use whatever means he has. The medical knowledge comes from him. Even the doctors acknowledge it as the serpent in Moses' pole. I hope you know that is a symbol of the medical profession. So they acknowledge that no one heals. What they do is just, the truth is, what heals a man is in you. God created it in you. So those white blood cells are the soldiers that fight any strange thing that comes into the body. It is those white blood cells, which is your immunity against any strange thing that comes, they fight it out. That HIV, that virus attack. If they attack that, then any sickness that come upon you kills you, because there's nothing, no drug. Because every drug given to you is to boost the white cells, to enable you fight that disease. No doctor can cure. They only help your system to fight itself. That is why the stronger your immune system, the easier for your healing when you take a drug. So all this we got to know later. But to the glory of God, how many years now? Since 1989 till today, I've not been to the hospital for anything. When I'm sick, I pray. And God heals me. There's nothing wrong about it. I may go tomorrow. I don't know. So I'm not boasting that I will not go to the hospital. I say I have not. And there's nothing wrong in going to the hospital. If I break my leg, then I must go to the hospital. There's nothing. There's something that's growing in my eye. I don't even feel it. It's people who look at me and say, there's something growing there. I went to Mikeo Eye Center to check it. I asked, is there anything wrong with it? Is it affecting your sight? No, it's not affecting my sight. It's not on the eyes, on the eyelid. And they said, but they booked me for an operation to cut it off. They say it's fat that is coming up. But it doesn't affect my sight in any way. I don't even know it's there. People that tell me, see, something's growing in your eye. When I look at mirror, I say, I'm not true. There's something there. And somebody is distracting me here. He said it comes out, especially if I'm angry. These children are something else. And what do you call it? The appointment, the date they gave me, you know, they did one strike like that there was going to be no more. Anyway, that period, the date they gave me to come for the surgery, I had to be in the UK. And so I used the opportunity to go and check in the hospital there in the UK. And I said, see, when they looked at it, they used the word congenital. I don't know, that's the first time I was hearing that. It says congenital. And the doctor there said, does it disturb your sight? I said, no. He said, it happens with some people. If it's not disturbing your sight, I said, don't bother. Don't remove it. Nigerian doctor said, cut them. Oyibo said, leave it. He said, let's observe it for the next 3 years. If it grows more, then you can come. We cut it off. Maybe that is what we sent me to the hospital. I don't know. It's just a little thing to remove. It's a fat. And it's actually not even affecting my sight. So listen, this is what my own testimony was. You can imagine that type of faith. And I came among the end time message. What I met was something very cold, cold setting. That is why I was not a minister in any church. The day I was released from the prison, the prisoners and even the warders, some of them were crying. Because any warder, the officers there that were sick, they would bring them to us. And God will heal them. There was a serious revival in the prison yard. People were dying every day. One day we declare nobody will die in this prison yard again. 3 months, no death. 3 months, no death. So I saw the reality of the gospel. That's what I'm saying. When I came out, that's why I was never a minister in any end time message church. The first church I ever stayed to preach like this is when Brad Assembly Church started. Because I disagreed with what was going on. We all have our testimony. So, when you talk about originality, I have no hangover from anywhere. I have no hangover from anywhere. And maybe that is why I don't have a mentor. And that is why it is very, very easy for me to make a mistake. Nobody to correct me. Those who will have corrected me, they are fighting me because I disagree with them. And because I knew I am prone to mistake, I decided the only way I will not make mistake is to stay with the Bible. Be guided by the Bible. That is why you see me stay with the scripture, study so that I don't go off. And immediately I notice I'm off anywhere, I come back, I correct myself. Guided by the scriptures. No other ambition other than to serve my God appropriately. Now, I want to make two comments from Brother Henacho's message. Where is he? Brother Henacho? Okay, thank you very much. God bless you. I want you to listen, that's why. I don't know why you didn't want me to sit down when you were preaching. You don't want me to learn too. The last comment before you left the pulpit, you mentioned about legacy. We should leave legacy when you are talking about succession and things like that. I want to remind all of us that we have only one legacy to leave behind. And the legacy we as ministers have to leave behind is the same kind of legacy that Apostle Paul stressed concerning his own legacy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6, 7, maybe verse 8. Listen.
For I am now ready to be offered.
Yes.
And the time of my departure is
his death. That is his death. Uh-huh. Listen now to his legacy.
I have fought a good fight.
Uh-huh.
I have finished my course.
Uh-huh.
I have kept the faith.
This is our legacy. That when you are gone, people will say you kept the faith. What is the faith? Jude verse 3.
Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints.
And that is the apostolic faith. That is apostolic faith. The baton was handed over us from the apostles. By the apostles. The apostolic faith. They laid the foundation. Ephesians 2:20. We are built upon the foundation of the prophets, apostles, and the prophets. We are built upon it. They handed it over to us. We are to continue. In your ministry, he said you should raise up faithful men and you will commit the work unto. He got his Timothy, he got his Titus. He lost Demas and lost Alexander. But Titus and Timothy continued with the faith. In your ministries, the succession plan you have is that you held the lamp and that lamp will continue to shine after you are no more. They will still hold that light, which you too collected from who you took over from. Nothing more, nothing less. And remember, that is the legacy you left behind is what is going to carry you before the Lord, and you will answer for what you did in the judgment seat of Christ. So take note. That is why you are to study to show yourself approved unto God, not unto any man. I want you to take note of that. The second point, Brother Nacho, is very, very important. And I pray that you will understand me. Your anniversary, 10th anniversary, you say I should bring Cosmos Maduka to do what? What is the topic you want him to talk about?
Raising the next generation of Christian entrepreneurs for the kingdom expansion.
Where in the scripture are you picking that pattern from? Nothing in the scripture. Those are the jargons you hear in the mouth of these motivational speakers. Nothing like that. When Jesus Christ needed money to pay his bills, did he raise any of those apostles to equip them? Forget that Korokbe, I mean, that there's one Korokbe or something like that. One pastor at Onitsha. Korokbe. At Wari or something like that. And who else? I was hearing them saying that Jesus was associating with Joseph Arimathea, a rich man that was connected to Herod. Sir, listen very well. This is can I say this?
Go ahead, sir.
Why are you selecting Cosmos Maduka? Has he been the one sponsoring the gospel? Has he been sponsoring the gospel? We only use Cosmos Maduka to talk to fellow Christian businessmen to let them know how a Christian can succeed in the midst of this wuru-wuru generation and still stay saved. How are you able to cope with it? And that is why I've invited him to talk to our brethren. How a Christian, and he's not the first, I have invited one before, Innocent. Any Christian that I know is a Christian indeed. And you heard what he said. I even brought him on live television for people to ask questions. Is that you as a businessman, with the kind of business you do, how are you able to compete with these people, sustain one of the banks that later on transformed to, I mean, was bought over by Access Bank. It was a major shareholder. They formed that bank, forgotten the name of the bank. But later on, that's why he owned 20% of Access Bank. Also, because one day he was in my office when we finished vigil. He had vigil with us, and he received a call. And so he was explaining to me, he said, he's going for a meeting now. He said, there are how many of them or so? 20 of them or 10 of them or something like that, that are the major shareholders of MTN. And that they have a law, there's a decision to be taken. The 10 of them or so must agree before that decision is taken. Such major decisions in MTN. So they were begging him to come, because if he's not in the meeting, they can't take that decision. So he was, they were begging him. I was hearing, please, 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 please. So he told me that 5 a.m. he's driving to the meeting street. So I said, what? He said, when MTN was to come to Nigeria, he said that money that was used to pay for the license, they were the ones that put the money together. Therefore, they are the major. He said what? He said it was $20 million he gave them. They contributed $20 million. Now, but how are you able to sustain it? That man, he told me something. He said, he wants to set up a company that will outlive him, like Ford, like all those international companies. He said he wants Koscharis to be like that. So he's doing it the normal way. He has a salary. He has the director's shares at the end. Whatever belongs to them with the other directors is the major one. When they are sharing profit, they give him. They follow it. He said, it doesn't just go take money to what? No, 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 no. He told me that the company he uses is one of the best audit firm, an international audit firm. I've forgotten the name. KPGMB or something like that. Yes. He said they come audit the account and pay the tax. He said after paying the tax, he will now come use his veto as the chairman and tell them, now the company, how much? He said, now that profit that is left, pay tithe of it. So he said, after the tithe, when he orders, and I said, the other directors will be grumbling. And this is what he said. He said, he'll be talking in his heart. Look at them. They are seeing business coming in, coming in, coming in from left, right. They don't know what is causing the businesses to be coming, because he believes it is the tithe he's paying that is bringing. So he said he follows the principles. And therefore, it's not that God raised him for kingdom expansion. It is a principle that everyone, believer, if you follow, you will also be rich. Nothing more. And so that you will understand why Apostle Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17.
Charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded.
These people are believers, so them that are rich in this world, believers that are rich in this world, that they be what?
That they be not.
Don't be proud.
No trust in uncertain riches.
Don't put your trust in those riches.
But in the living God, who giveth us richly all things.
Listen.
To enjoy. That they do good.
See?
That they be rich in good works. Ready to distribute.
You see? Ready to distribute.
Willing to communicate.
And willing to communicate.
Laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life.
Apart from the full-time ministers, particularly of the fivefold, all other church members are supposed to work. Are supposed to be engaged in one thing or the other. That is why people come to give offering. That is why people give tithes. The tithes and the offering are from the endeavors of the members. So study the principles for prosperity and teach the people the principles for prosperity. And they are there. I'm not going to waste time on that. I am well established on those principles. I have taught my church those principles. Those who practice it, they are prospering. Those who think they are wiser, right before my presence, so that somebody would not think I'm being personal. I know of somebody who lost over 2 billion naira in Bride Assembly Church. Before he came to me, they were going to seize the company. Going to seize everything. The bank was already coming. Before he came to me, I was grumbling. I quickly told them, I said, "That's the problem with you people. You don't have a pastoral member relationship. You should have known by now that I know the Luke person thing. This man standing here has experience that can help you. Sitting down there, I link them there with a lawyer in Abuja. While you are complaining, make this call. I spoke to the lawyer, talk. The next day, fly to Abuja. As it is now, the bank has been sued for 40 billion naira. Now they are begging to settle out of court. If you had told me that initially, you will suffer what you are suffering. Because you don't want me to know you have money. So it was during that period now that I saw the bank statement. For the church! Praise the Lord. You see, I'm careful so that the person no go here, say, and they take and they preach and go Cana. Praise the Lord. We taught the people, you wouldn't have lost all that money. Even to the lawyer alone, he has to pay the lawyer to pick up the case. I spent over 100 million naira to pay the lawyer. And I didn't bother. And it's because the lawyer is my friend. That's why he don't charge much. Because he's a senior advocate of Nigeria. Very stubborn. There's no case he has lost. Very stubborn. Very, very stubborn. He said, "Don't worry. They will regret this action they did." Praise the Lord. It's a matter of law. But you will have imagined that you wouldn't have lost all that. Sold your bid. Building, sold this, and they were already appointing a receiver to come and collect, collect the company from them. One injunction was thrown, and before you know what, the Nigeria way, the case is now turning around. They say up to recently, they are begging, and the lawyer is insisting we will not settle out of court. There must be pronouncement. Pay 40. Say 40. No, the lawyer, the judge may reduce it to 20. Say, Ingo, come count up. Say 20 too small. Then they go court. They reach Supreme Court. He say, he must pay. And say, immediately to pre-court, give that. Say, go and seal the bank. Say, pay the money. If not, this bank no go work. So, praise the Lord. Anyway, the emphasis is that if you follow these principles, you will prosper. I have known it. Praise the Lord. You know, in verse 8 of 1 Corinthians, which scripture is that? 2 Corinthians chapter 9. You know, the whole of that chapter, take time and study, you will learn a few things in there to tell you. It's a very rich chapter, if you to know why God tells us to give. Read it from verse 1, but my emphasis is verse 8.
And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work.
That, from there you see, given is a grace. Just study that very well, that chapter very well. You see, the ability to give is a grace. It's a grace. If you are bound in this grace, you will never lack anything. If you're a giver, you will never lack. You know, you said something. That when you minister to the needy, I'm paraphrasing that chapter, both to the saints and who? Somebody who is in it, I'm paraphrasing it to let you know what that chapter is talking about. That when you give somebody an offering, meet the person's need, the person begins to thank God. And when thanking God for what you have done, God comes down to know, why is this person thanking me like this? Then God will see that you are the one that blessed him, that's making him thank me like this. Then he will come and bless you. That is what that chapter is talking about. You know, in the book of Proverbs somewhere, he said, he that giveth to the poor, he does what? He lendeth unto God, and God will surely pay you back.
Proverbs chapter 19, verse 17.
Okay.
He that hath pity upon the poor, lendeth unto the Lord. And that which he has given, will he pay him again.
Pay you back. You know, I have said something I have observed before. I've observed it. I've said it several times. When somebody wants, is in need, and he knows you have the money, maybe he wants 10,000 naira, 100,000 naira. But he knows if he beg you, you're not going to give him. But if he say, please borrow me, you will give. But the truth is, he doesn't know, have a hope of paying you back. But that is the best he could do to be able to make you give. Then he tells you, please borrow me. And he hopes that within 1 month, 2 months, he'll pay you back. Then you will give. Now, I just observe it, those of you who are also students like me. Between the time you gave him that 100,000 and the time he promised to pay back, that money somehow from some other source will have gotten double that amount you gave out. But sometimes we are not sensitive to observe it. They will be peppering this person. My 100,000 up till now. So tell the person, because of you, no go fit come church. It's because you are not sensitive to see that within that period, God has paid you back. So that you understand Luke chapter 6 and verse 38, that almighty principle there.
Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over.
Who will give you?
Shall men give
you?
It's
not the person you give that will give you. Man will give you. Because you give to man, man will give you. These people don't understand that. You see, he said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. The Christian faith is easy. The problem we have is to trust God and trust his word. Some of us have confirmed this and we can share it with you. I can share it with you. If you ever call me and you have say you have a need and I tell you I don't have, just believe it, it's because I don't have. If I have and I dare tell you that I don't have, I will not give you, I will never have peace. It's so established in me until it becomes sin to me to say no when I can afford it. And it has become so much part of me until when God wants to bless me, you put a body for me to just bless someone. It has never failed. Each time I see that body, I don't waste my time. I'll be looking for, who can I help? Come, take. And the peace will come upon. It has never failed. Praise the Lord. Never failed. You see all those cars that I have. Didn't use my money to buy any. And I know how many cars I have dashed out. I saw one day go, one day coming. I've not praised the Lord. The reason, okay, let me not go too far. So, this is the principle, sir. All this kingdom expansion and kingdom this, forget it, is to expand the kingdom of that overseer to open branches in his name. It is one of those motivational we fear was make merchandise of the people. Then you say, I heard Oyedepo saying that this year he built how many churches? Did God call us to build church buildings? He said his wife too, I was listening, his wife too built, he didn't even know the wife built how many churches. He too built how many churches. So that you too, wherever you are, you go and build. When you build, which name are you putting there? Winners. But they tell you it is to expand the kingdom. Expand the kingdom. Meanwhile, and their family business will expand. Nothing like that. Praise the Lord. Within the believers. See, you see, we didn't teach that brother about kingdom wealth before he sent us 8 million naira as his contribution for this conference. 8 million. Some of you, Pastor Lumide was telling me that many brethren have been sending.
Yes, sir. Many.
Even Pastor James sent 100,000.
100,000.
And some other Several, people,
so
plenty.
Many people.
You know, to meet the need of the conference. Nothing more. So let everybody walk. Apostle Paul, our example, he walked. And he said, so let everybody also, he who doesn't walk should not eat. He said, teach the people so that they will not become beggars. And those of us who are pastors, every ministry you that starts, you are the one that will first finance it. You are the one that will first finance it. Don't start a ministry and expect the ministry to take care of you. Ask Pastor Benson in Kano. Is he here? Eh? Okay. Oh. Praise the Lord. So, you are the one that will use your money and be financing it until the church stand. Don't say, I am full-time. There is no half-time minister. All of us are full-time. So, you must hustle. Apostle Paul was full-time, but he was doing something to meet his own needs and the needs of the others that are around him. You must, though. You had my own. For the first 2 years of this ministry, almost 100% I was the one sponsoring it. But by the time Satan attacked my finances, it was too late. Members already gathered. So, while the church was getting to, when we gathered like this, over 500, almost 800 people, people were expecting I have money. For 2 years, I could not pay my rent. It's part of the trial. Satan was attacking me. 2 years I was in the house. 2 years. I could not pay my. The landlady said, but you're a pastor. And I said, Mommy, you will not understand. I'm not that type of pastor. And all my friends forsook me. All those that I helped while I was in office, everybody forsook me. And to let you know that God's hand was in it. One of my best friends, when I pick up call one day, he said, oh boy, where are you there now? I say, General. Oh boy, where are you there now? Say, there Lagos. I said, make I come. Come get small wealth. And he shouted at me. He said, when you need money, you call me. Blah, 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 blah. I said, Tears came out of my eyes. See what my condition all is. The first car he ever used, I bought it for him. I mean, tear nylon. when I was in office. And many more things I did for him. And now he is chairman of the Armed Forces Pension Board, a multi-millionaire. Help me now, you are yabbing me. 1 week after, I had a revelation where I saw us switching position. Can never forget it. And he came one time, we were driving going somewhere. I said, oh, but see one revelation I got. As he said, I described it, then he was given his own interpretation. I said, me too, I don't understand it all. But I'm telling you, something happened, he was frustrated. And I became the person that was now paying his daughter's school fees. Every week I have to send him money. Every week I have to send him money. The position switched. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So, but, amen. I believe also God did it, allowed it, so that I will not boast to say, I'm going to take care of this church. So he blocked it. One of the reasons he blocked it is so that people can have opportunity. There was a business I was battling to have. Where's everybody? Okay. They want to ease themselves. Okay. Because sometimes I want people to confirm what I'm saying. And I made a vow between me and God. From this business, I will build this ministry, the church, the building, blah, blah, blah. And I invited those of you who were with us in Mafuluku. You saw when some white men from Italy came, they even worshiped with us. Yeah, those are my business partners. I remember the oldest man there, he was crying. I said, why are you crying? He said, when he came to church, he said, he made him remember those days, how church was. He said, he's missing. He didn't know there's a place like this that is still the original faith. He said, everything now is all this money. He said, no more reverence for God. I made that vow. I came finished. Prophet Boboye, that's why I was asking. He walked to me, he said, sir, there's a vow you made. The Lord told me that no, because of that vow, say, that business will not work. He said he is going to use the building project as a means of blessing the people. So that people will contribute, give to the building, so that using it, he can bless them. And that is how it was. But naturally, you know, you won't believe that type of prophecy. You've gone too far. That's how the thing hung up. And eventually, we built the place without loan from anywhere. People were contributing. So, Eyanacho, God's principle for prosperity is in the Bible. People want to know how to make money, go to Harvard Business School, Lagos Business School, go and read business administration, go to the secular world and learn how to make money. Then when God blesses you, then come and use it for the things of the gospel. But our message does not include how to teach people to make wealth for kingdom expansion. Nothing like that. When there is a need, there will be a supply. You may disagree with me, but concentrate on building people to love God and to love the things of God. They will give. And when they know you are honest, they will give you. When they know if they give you, you will use it. They will give you. Praise the Lord. Can I take a few questions more before we take our break? We have been sitting down for the past 2 hours. Can we stand up and stretch forth our legs?